Well, good evening. I believe it's time for us to begin our class tonight. We're Divided Kingdom, mainly in 2 Kings 8 and 9, but also pick up a little bit over 2 Chronicles chapter 22. So here's what we'll cover basically tonight is Hazael becoming king in Syria. Of course, Syria keeps interfacing so much with Israel. We keep talking about things that's going on in Syria and Syria besieging Samaria and all these kind of things. But Hazael's a new king there, basically Ben-Hadad. Jehu, been known to be king of Israel. And then war with Syria is mentioned. And then Jehu, the big thing we'll get to, is the convergence of all this at the end. We'll talk about God's providence. When Jehu kills Jehoram of Israel, Ahaziah from Judah, and of course, wicked Jezebel. So we're going to bounce around a lot. We got all these little pieces to put together and see if we can kind of dovetail them together at the end. So I haven't showed this chart before, but look across the bottom and you'll see a timeline. 850, 800, 750, et cetera. So you look over there where we are, and we're about 840 BC, and the kingdom, northern kingdom, is going to fall in 721. So 120 years maybe later, till the northern kingdom's gone. The top up there, Ahab, and then Ahaziah, his son, and now the other son, Ahaziah's brother, Joram, is king up there. And you see the next one in line there is Jehu. We'll get to him tonight. Down at the bottom, we got Jehoshaphat. Of course, before him was his father, Asa. The two of them had 66 years of being good kings. And then Jehoram comes in and not good, and we'll talk about why tonight. We already have that. And Ahaziah, his son, is reigning. And then the next one in line there is wicked queen Athaliah from Israel, who will actually be reigning in Judah. So I kind of run across that. So here's what we've been looking at it through this. Jehoshaphat, Ahab, Jezebel, and the other one. Ahaziah is the next king, his son, and then his brother, Joram. And then their sister, Athaliah, comes into play here. So those three children of Ahab and Jezebel, a lot more, but that's the three important ones. And then we'll get to Jehu tonight. Over here we have Jehoram, who is married to Athaliah because of the bonding between Jehoshaphat and Ahab, so that their children married Jehoram and Athaliah. Just think about the wickedness in the north and what's going to happen here. And then Athaliah will eventually become queen over in Judah. So notice the sons of Ahab are Ahaziah and Jehoram. On the other side is Jehoram and then his son, Ahaziah. So they got the same names, they're flipped up. Two are brothers over here, one's a father's son over in Judah. So a lot of complicated names and things to intertwine in here. So this is where we are tonight. Okay, let's start off with 2 Kings chapter 8. But we're going to drop down to verse 25 to start. And we'll come back up to verse 7 here in a minute. After we get a couple things here. Like I said, we're going to kind of hodgepodge different parts together here. Verse 2 Kings 8:25. 12th year of Jehoram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, began to reign. Now that's just a mouthful and mixed up names if you don't keep them all straight like on the chart. Ahaziah was 22 years old and became king, reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. Mother's name was Athaliah, the granddaughter of Amri, or the daughter of Ahab, of Israel. He walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, did evil in the sight of the Lord, for the house of Ahab, for he was the son-in-law of the house of Ahab. So he's the son of Jehoram. He's the youngest son. If we read the same type thing over the first part of 2 Chronicles 22, let's read verses 1 through 4. 2 Chronicles 22, 1 through 4. The inhabitants of Jerusalem made Ahaziah, his youngest son, so youngest son of Jehoram, king in his place. Why? because the raiders came from the Arabians to the camp and killed all the older sons. So Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, the king of Judah, reigned. And this verse 2 says he was 42 years old when he reigned. That won't work out chronologically. So there's a miswhack there. It's really 22, like it states back in 2 Kings chapter 8. Reigned 1 year, his mother's name was Athaliah, we talked about that. He walked in the ways of the house of Ahab. His mother advised him really wickedly. Therefore, he did evil in the sight of the Lord, like the house of Ahab, for they were his counselors after the death of his father to his destruction. Make a note of that verse. They were his counselors. The house of Ahab was the counselors to the king in Judah. All the kings in Israel are wicked, and now that is the counselor to the king over in Judah. Just make a note of that, and we'll talk about it. So, he's the youngest son. Those were killed. His mother's Athaliah, daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. Jehoram of Israel will be his uncle. 22 years old, not the 42 in 2 Chronicles. And he reigned 1 year, and of course, he was very wicked. And this is about 840, 841 BC when this starts happening here with Ahaziah. The youngest son. What's the promise God made to David back in 2 Samuel 7? I will build you a house through your son Solomon that will last, where we talked about before when I was in here, last forever. How many sons are there for that lineage to go through right now? This one. He's the youngest son. All the other ones got killed. So keep that in mind. We're going to see it get even worse. Of his wickedness in chapter 8, 27, he walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, that idolatrous, bloody house, house of Ahab, for his mother was Ahab's daughter. So he sucked the wickedness with his milk. The child may be expected to resemble the mother, this commentator said. So there's a quick lesson here for us. That, when you think about, when Jehoram chose his wife, Athaliah, what influence is that going to have on his son? When men choose wives for themselves, they must remember they're choosing what? Mothers for their children. You need to think about that. Now, most in here are past that age, I understand, but the principle is still there, so we'll mention it. Now, let's back up and go back to verse 7 in chapter 8. So we got that established with Ahaziah. Backing up to verse 7. So Elisha went down to Damascus. Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, was very sick. And was told him, saying, the man of God has come here. The king said to Hazael, take a present in your hand and go meet the man of God and inquire of the Lord by him. Now think about it. Who is this saying to inquire of the Lord? King Ben-Hadad of Syria wants to inquire of the Lord through the prophet Elisha. Foreigners. He asked him, saying, shall I recover from this disease? Hazael went to meet him, took a present with him of every good thing in Damascus, 40 camel loads. I'll talk about that in a minute. He came and stood before him and said, your son Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, sent me to you saying, shall I recover from this disease? The notes I read about this 40 camel loads, can you imagine going out with 40 camel loads to meet Elisha? And a camel load, as I read, said it's about 600 pounds. So what's the quick math? 600 times 40 is 24,000, is that right? Which is about 12 tons. So Elisha's going to have 12 tons of gift to take back home with him. The common oriental practice, it says, was for one person, or in this case, one camel, to take one gift. So you got a big show that there's 40 camels coming, but they only got one gift each type thing. At least that's what I read from the commentary, so I thought I'd share that with you. Okay. Ben-Hadad's sick, sent Elisha to meet him, 40 camel loads. The question is, will he get well? Verse 10. Elisha says, go say to him, you shall certainly recover. However, the Lord has shown me that he will really die. So, go back and tell him he's going to recover, but he's going to die. So Elisha began to weep, looked, stared at him, and started weeping. Verse 12. Hazael said, why is my Lord weeping? He answered, because I know the evil that you will do to the children of Israel. Their strongholds you'll set on fire. Young men you'll kill with a sword. You'll dash their children, rip open their women with child. Hazael, you can see him. I'm going to see him standing there. What are you talking about, Elisha? I mean, Hazael said, is your servant a dog? They should do this gross thing? Elisha said, the Lord has shown me that you will become king over Syria. And then in the battles that Israel and Syria have, it would be natural that these things would happen. So he departed and went back to answer to Ben-Hadad on what's going to happen. And he told me he's going to recover. Truth? Yeah. Only half of it. Remember what he said? You recover, but you're going to die. Now, it's kind of interesting that Hazael really took that part to heart. Because the next day, he says, he takes in a wet cloth, puts it over his face, and suffocates him. And he became king of Syria in his place. So now we got Ahaziah down in Judah. We got Hazael, the king now up in Syria. We got that two little parts put together here. So let's move on. Going in chapter 9. This is kind of an entirely different part, but it's going to all tie together when you get to the end of it down here. Chapter 9, verse 1. Elisha the prophet called one of the sons of the prophet, said, get yourself ready, take a flask of oil in your hand, go to Ramoth Gilead. When you arrive at the place, look for Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat. Go in and make him rise up from among his associates. Notice that detail. When you go there and find him, get him to come out away from his associates. Watch that later on. Take him to an inner room. Take the flask of oil, pour in his head, and say, thus says the Lord, I have anointed you king over Israel. Open the door and flee and do not delay. So the young man, the servant of the prophets, went to Ramoth Gilead. So, going to take Jehu to the inner room, anoint him, and flee. Found Jehu, anointed him, and he fled, just like he'd been told. Verse 5, get the details now. When he arrived there, the captains of the army were sitting, and he said, I have a message for you, commander. Jehu said, which one of us? Well, there must be several commanders, parts of the armies there. He said, for you, commander. So he arose and went to the house and pulled him out from away from his associates, just like it is said, poured oil on his head and said to him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I have anointed you king over his people, over Israel. Okay. So we have a king anointed to be over Israel, and that's Jehu. Now let's stick in one little piece of information here. Go back to 2 Kings 8, verse 28. That is, Ahaziah went with Jehoram, the king of the son of Ahab, to war against Hazael at Ramoth Gilead. And they're going to wound Jehoram. Same thing said in 2 Chronicles 22, verse 5. He followed their advice, went with Jehoram, the son of Ahab, the king of Israel, to war against Hazael, king of Syria at Ramoth, and the Syrians wounded Jehoram. So this, we're putting pieces together here. So we got this battle going on, and Jehoram has been wounded. Now, let's pick up with verse 7 of chapter 9. And this is the instructions that's going to be given to Jehu. You shall strike down the house of Ahab, your master, that I may avenge the blood of my servants, the prophets, and the blood of the servants of the Lord at the hand of Jezebel. Remember talking about that bloody man that he was? the whole house of Ahab shall perish. I will cut off from Ahab all the males in Israel, both bond and free. Make the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, and Baasha, the son of Ahijah. What happened to them? Jeroboam reigned, his son reigned, ended the dynasty. Baasha reigned, his son reigned, ended the dynasty. So what's going to happen now? Ahab, his sons, it's going to be the end of it. Same type of thing is going to happen. He says, the dog shall eat Jezebel on the plot of ground at Jezreel. There shall be none to bury her. And he opened the door and fled. Again, key in little nitty-bitty points we're getting here of what's going to happen as this thing folds together. So Joram's wounded. He wants Jezreel to recover. Ahaziah goes to visit him. And the armies are over there fighting against Syria at Ramoth-Gilead. We got a map here in a minute. And Jehoram's injured, goes back to Jezreel, and Ahaziah goes to visit him. Parts coming together. Okay. He returned to Jezreel to recover from his wounds, which he received. He fought against Hazael. Azariah, the son of Jehoram, king, went down to see him because he was sick. Verse 7, his going to Jehoram was God's occasion. God is bringing all this together for a purpose, which has already been stated with what he's got Jehu going to do. It's for Ahaziah's downfall when he arrived. He went out with Jehoram against Jehu, whom the Lord had told to cut off the house of Ahab. So this is going to start happening. So here's a map. Ramoth-Gilead is almost parallel to Jezreel. Ramoth-Gilead is on the right side. Of course, Syria. See Damascus up in the very top right corner. That's the capital of Syria. So this part of the country here is right below them. That's something they would want, particularly with trade routes going through there. So he's wounded. He goes back then from Ramoth-Gilead across to Jezreel. Jezreel, you see, we've talked about Shunem a lot. See it right above Jezreel. Give you a relation to where the two are here. So he's gone back, and that's where all this is going to come down then. Jehu's instructions, I got ahead, we've already read that. The highlighted part here, avenge the blood of my servants, the prophets, the blood of all the servants of the Lord at the hand of Jezebel. Secondly, I'll make the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam and like the house of Baasha. We talked about that. Another point. The dog shall eat Jezebel on the plot of ground at Jezreel, and there shall be none to bury her. Let's watch that happen. Okay. So again, watching this. House of Ahab, the whole house of Ahab, take from Ahab, wipe out the house of Ahab, and by the way, Jezebel also. Over and over through this little part, the instructions are given to wipe them out. So, Jehu leaves and goes to Jezreel. Jehoram's there because he's wounded. Ahaziah's there because he's come to visit. And the watchman sees Jehu coming. Verse 16, chapter 9. Jehu rode in a chariot and went to Jezreel. Jehoram's laid up there, and Ahaziah came down to see him. The watchman's on the tower, and he sees the company coming. Company of men coming. Jehoram says, get a horseman, send him out to meet him. Say, is it peace? Horseman goes out to meet him. So the king says, is it peace? Jehu says, what peace do I have? You get around here and follow me. Well, Jehu didn't even slow down. Just kept going. So the watchman reported that. So the messenger's not coming back. He said, now the second horse, second watchman, same thing. Get around and follow me. So the watchman reported, he's not coming back. The driving is like the driving of Jehu, the son of Nimshi, for he drives furiously. Now, that's not an unusual phrase for us. I can say he drives like Harold Holt, or he drives like Andy Swinford. Excuse me, I'm just making illustrations here, okay? But you recognize Jehu's driving, okay? He's driving like, let's say, furiously. So Jehoram says, make ready. And his chariot was made ready. Watch this. Jehoram, king of Israel, and Ahaziah, king of Judah, went out each in his chariot. They went out to meet Jehu. They met him where? On the property of Naboth the Jezreelite. What had happened to Naboth? Ahab wanted a vineyard. Jezebel had him killed. Remember all that? I got a comment here from a commentary. Let me read that. He said, again, here we have evidence of how finely and with what precision the Lord times his actions. Only a few minutes variation in the exact time when Jehoram left Jezreel would have placed his meeting in Jehu at some other place. But no, God had decreed that the blood of Naboth should be avenged on that very spot. And so it occurred. The meeting of Jehoram and Jehu, humanly speaking, was an accident. The portion of Naboth lay outside the southeastern gate of Jezreel and no great distance from the walls. If the king had stayed there a little sooner or Jehu had driven a little slower, the meeting would have taken place elsewhere. But divine providence, and we'll mention that more later, so ordered the matter with vengeance to the son of Ahab was exacted at the very spot where it was to be done. So let me catch up. Second horseman sent out, drivers like Jehu. They meet him on the field of Naboth. So when they met, verse 22, Joram saw Jehu, said, is it peace, Jehu? He answered, what peace, as long as the harlotries of your mother Jezebel and her witchcraft are so many. So Jehoram then, of course, realizes what's about to happen. So he turns around and starts flees, hollers treachery. Jehu drew his bow with full strength, shot Jehoram between his arms. Arrow came out through his heart, and he sank down in his chariot. Go back to 1 Kings chapter 21. This is the chapter with Naboth's vineyard. This is Elijah making the prophecy. See how Ahab has humbled himself before me. What happened? After Ahab did what he did to Naboth, Elijah goes and confronts him with it and tells him the Lord's going to avenge you for it. Ahab shows humility. Okay? See how Ahab has humbled himself before me. Yes, wicked King Ahab can become humble before God. And I'll not bring his calamity in his days, but in the days of his son, I will bring calamity on his house. That's what's happening right now. God wants contrition. Ahab showed it. Even wicked King Ahab showed contrition. He humbled himself, and God let him live and took revenge in the days of his sons. Okay, chapter 9, verse 25. Jehu said to Bidkar, his captain, pick him up, that would be Jehoram, and throw him into the track of the field of Naboth, the Jezreelite. And why would Jehu do that? For remember, when you and I were riding together behind Ahab, his father, the Lord laid this burden on him. Surely, I saw yesterday the blood of Naboth, the blood of his sons, says the Lord. I will repay you in this plot, says the Lord. Now therefore take him and throw him on the plot of ground according to the words of the Lord. Later on, we're going to, and I can probably the next lesson, we're going to see Jehu talk about his zeal. I mean, he goes in here, he's wiping things out that God told him to. The point's going to be he's going to carry his zeal a little too far, I think. We'll see that. Save you back next time. But Jehu is zealous to do what the God's told him to, according to the word of the Lord, verse 26. So Ahaziah, of course, is sitting there seeing this happen. Well, what's he going to do? He fled, started out, and Jehu said, shoot him in this chariot also. They shot him, and he fled to Megiddo and died there. His servants carried him back to Jerusalem, buried him in the tomb of his fathers in the city of David. So he's got both of them. How did this all happen? How did all of them get there at the same place, at the same time, on the same spot? Back to our chart. So the house of Ahab is being wiped out, and Ahaziah over in Judah has been killed. The youngest son, because all the older ones are already dead, they were killed. One more verse from 2 Chronicles 22, verse 8. It happened when Jehu was executing judgment on the house of Ahab. He found the princes of Judah, the sons of Ahaziah's brothers, who served Ahaziah, and he killed them. Jehu is he's zealous, he's doing what God tells him to, but he's wiping them out. This is now Ahaziah's brothers. Verse 9, he searched for Ahaziah. They caught him. He was hiding in Samaria, brought him to Jehu. They killed him, buried him because he said he's the son of Jehoshaphat, who sought the Lord with all his heart. Jehoshaphat being a good king, so they treated him properly. So the house of Ahaziah, watch this. Of the house of Ahaziah, descendant of David, there is no one to assume power over the kingdom. What's happening to the promise of David's family ruling forever, fulfilled in Matthew chapter 1 in Christ? He didn't say it, but nobody left in the lineage. He didn't say the lineage of David is broken. We'll see a little thread come out here, actually, next class. Okay. Now, with all that having happened, we've got one more little thing to take care of. 2 Kings 9, I'm going to start in verse 30. So Jehu's taking care of all this, so he comes back to Jezreel, and Jezebel's there, and she's heard what's happened. She just puts paints on her eyes, adorned her head, and looked through a window. Jehu entered the gate. She said, "Is it peace, Zimri, murderer of your master?" Zimri had murdered his master, so she's using that parallel there. He looked up in the window and said, "Who's on my side? Who?" So two or three of the eunuchs up there with Jezebel looked out. He said, "Throw her down." So he threw her down. Some of her blood splattered on the wall to the horses, and he trampled her underfoot. Is it peace? Don't think so. They threw her down, and Jehu's men trampled over her body. Remember what was said about her body? Okay, hang on to that. Now, having done all this, look at verse 34. When he had gone in, he ate and drank. Just like it didn't bother him, all this bloodshed. So now he says, "Go out and see this cursed woman, bury her, for she is the king's daughter." So he said, okay, you need to go out and treat her with a little bit of respect. She is the king's daughter. So they went out to bury her, and they found no more of her than the skull, the feet, and the palms of her hands. Threw her down, she splattered, they trampled over, nothing's left. Back to 1 Kings again. He says, "You shall speak to him, thus saith the Lord, have you murdered and also taken possession?" Talking about the avenger of Naboth. "And you shall speak to him, saying, thus saith the Lord, in the place where the dogs lick the blood of Naboth, the dogs shall lick your blood, even yours." Verse 37. Let's go 36 and 37. They came back and told Jehu, "This is the word of the Lord. He spoke by the servant Elisha the Tishbite on the plot of ground. It's Jezreel, dogs shall eat the flesh of Jezebel, and the corpse of Jezebel she has refuge on the surface of the field, and the plot of Jezreel." So they should say, nobody can say, "Here lies Jezebel." There's nothing left to bury her. That was the prophecy. And now it's being fulfilled. One note here about Jezebel. My time going, we're okay. Kaufman says, like the Apostle John who looked at the great harlot in Revelation, I wonder with great admiration at this evil woman, who, in spite of her wickedness, was a woman of great strength and achievement in the eyes of men, still not in the eyes of God. She was not only the king's daughter, it's talking about Jezebel, not only the king's daughter, king of Tyre, she was the wife of a king, Ahab, the mother of a king, Jehoram, the grandmother of another king, Ahaziah, and the mother-in-law of another king, Jehoram of Judah. She manifested a great zeal for her pagan religion, the Baals. If the kings of the God of God's people had been half as zealous to promote the true religion as she was to promote hers, she would not have been as near as successful in the great corruption she brought on God's people. It's to the shame of the kings of Judah and Israel that their conduct was not such as could have been of any encouragement to Jezebel to forsake Baal and cling to the true God. She retained her queenly character up to the day of her death. She died in full regalia of her office, customary decorations, her painted face, and probably her crown on her head. Jezebel. Here's the point. Well, God spoke through his prophets, any of them. In this case, it's Elijah, back in 1 Kings 21. What he spoke is going to happen. And that applies just as much to us now as it did to them back then. What God says through his apostles and prophets, the inspired writers of the New Testament, will come to pass just as real as these things here are coming to pass. We can't ever let that slip from us. A couple of points. Middle of the screen, verse 7, is talking about Ahaziah. He's going to Jehoram for God's occasion for Ahaziah's downfall. The providence of God. How did all this come together at the same time, at the same spot, with the right people there on the exact spot of ground where Elijah said it was going to happen? I didn't know Ahaziah was going to be there visiting Jehoram. I didn't know Jehoram was going to be injured in a battle with Hazael, the king of Syria, which we just talked about, Elisha talked about earlier. All these pieces God brought together exactly like he had planned. And one more comment, and that is Jehoram of Israel took counsel from evil ones to his own destruction. We read that verse back earlier. So that brings the question for us. Where do we get our counsel? Your word is lamp to my feet. And then Micah used this in his sermon Sunday morning, from Psalms 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands with the sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful, but it's a light to the law of the Lord. And that's where he meditates day and night. We go for our counsel. And that's the end of my counsel for tonight. Comments from anybody? We've been a lot of different angles, a lot of different places, and try to tie them all together here at the end. Okay, looks like it's, I can't see that clock, exactly 35, so you might have 1 or 2 minutes till time for the bell. So, Steve should be back for the next time. We got 5 classes left, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, yeah, 5 classes left. Steve should be back for them. Thank you.